Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you'd like a copy of the first six chapters of my book for free, you can go to KarenCan.com and you can put in your name and email address, and I'll be more than happy to send you an excerpt of my bestseller. So today I'm really excited because we're going to be talking about three-dimensional therapy. This is a fairly new therapy that I've introduced to you over the last year. I haven't done it myself, but what I'm really interested in is, you know, what I talk about in my book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, the importance of our beliefs. And sometimes we're aware of our beliefs. Like, for example, I've been working on some money beliefs over the years and realizing that, oh my gosh, I have these beliefs from childhood that I absorbed from other people that, you know, money is bad, money is the root of all evil, you know, rich people are greedy, and therefore I found some sabotaging ways that I didn't realize, you know, until very recently, that I would just get rid of money and not be able to have money, and I would get sick and I couldn't work, and, you know, all these kinds of things. And realizing, wow, I've got some pretty powerful core beliefs. And so I've been consciously, you know, working on shifting those beliefs, erasing, you know, some of those. But sometimes we don't know what these beliefs are because they're so buried deep down inside. And we manifest illness and we manifest certain things in our life. And we're like, oh, my gosh, okay, this can't be by chance. You know, what is going on? And that's what this kind of therapy is so cool, to be able to tap into those things. So we're going to be talking with Gwen Legler and Leilani Alexander, who created the three-dimensional therapy. And we're going to gain some understanding about these core desires, these core beliefs, and how they affect your system, and how three-dimensional therapy works to maybe, you know, removing some of the negative ones or healing them, maybe replacing them with empowering beliefs, stuff that is under the surface that we don't, you know, commonly know what's going on. And there's some really cool things in, and some of them are in the body code, which I do practice and absolutely love in my practice at work as well. Courting, for example, you know, what is courting? How does it work with PTSD? Like, what's going on with people that have that beyond, you know, what the trauma they've experienced in their life? Vanishing twin syndrome, which is very interesting. Conception energy. Anyway, there's some really neat things in three-dimensional therapy. So I'm so happy. Gwen and Leilani, thanks for being on this call today.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here. We're excited to talk with you because we really believe in the power of three-dimensional therapy.
Yes, and having met you in person like last year and some of the testimonials that came through of people that have worked with the system, it's just pretty amazing stuff. So before we kind of launch into, you know, what is T3 or three-dimensional therapy, can you, each of you, tell us a little bit about yourselves, like how did you get to this place where you're together, you know, teaching people, training people, certifying people to be three-dimensional therapists?
Well, I have a background in psychology, handwriting analysis, a master's in social work, and I've done traditional counseling, which definitely has its place. But I had some health issues, and they were emotional. And after taking doctor training, it helped, but I realized there was something deeper going on, and I was fortunate to team up with Leilani, and we really worked to discover the core belief system and also how core desire, or our love language, affects it. And Leilani?
Well, Dr. Karen, I started out at the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I started out with becoming a psychic. I went to school to learn how to use special gifts. I was just intrigued by it, I have lots of life experiences. I've always said between Gwen and I, there probably isn't anything we haven't done, haven't heard, or haven't seen.
Right.
So experience is a great teacher. I always said I have a PhD in life. But by going to school and developing and understanding our God-given gifts, between Gwen and I, we come together to form this. I met Gwen because I was developing macular degeneration and losing my eyesight and couldn't figure out why. She had just graduated from Dr. Brad's class and wanted to practice, so she practiced on me. And I was such a great surrogate and had such a terrific muscle testing arm that we started working together on other clients. And then I looked at her and said, do you want me to tell you what this client's really saying or what it's really seeing or what he really feels? And it surprised me we were able to bring the two different worlds together and make a perfect, well, almost perfect.
Yes.
No, I think it's perfect.
Right.
Perfect therapy.
Well, that is so cool. Now, how would someone know, like, what kind of problems would they have that they would seek, you know, that the three-dimensional therapy? How would they know they would benefit or need that?
Most people are aware that there's something in their past that's holding them back. But sometimes our conscious memory can't take us back far enough, or it was so traumatic, we've totally cut it off from our conscious mind. And through muscle testing and knowing how to answer the right questions, and this is very critical in three-dimensional therapy, it's not always a simple yes or no. There's quite a method to really getting in and mining down to the core belief.
It's also it happened to us in our childhood that our parents, for example, if a two-year-old is molested, a two-year-old isn't going to remember that, but the body will always remember it. And it may not understand, and it may not really affect that child until, say, she gets into her teenage years. And once the body has memory, and it just reacts, and she may not understand why she reacts the way she does or why she feels the way she does. She's confused. She's upset. And her parents have probably never told her what happened. And so she goes through life, and when you've been molested, there's a lot of bumps in the road that can knock you off center.
Or trigger points.
Huge trigger points.
Yep. And you don't know why suddenly you just trigger. A memory triggers you, and you sometimes revert right back to the child's energy.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's true. It's so difficult, especially. I remember a good friend of mine in medical school who would just freeze in the middle of exams, and 3 hours would go by, and she wouldn't remember what happened in those 3 hours, and she would fail, not because she wasn't brilliant, because she was, but because she was in the middle of actually remembering some of the molestations she had as a child. And eventually, you know, she was asked several times by her therapist whether she was sexually molested, and she kept saying, no, 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 but I don't remember anything from childhood, you know. And then finally, when she did remember, I mean, it was just pretty intense and you know, brutal. It was so hard on her. She actually had to repeat, you know, that year in medical school, but now she's a brilliant child psychiatrist because she healed all that. So it is pretty amazing, some of the stuff our subconscious will, you know, hide from us so we can get protected and so we can function.
Right. And when you say hide, one of the things we've learned in three-dimensional therapy is sometimes these issues are so sensitive, the subconscious will take us on what we call a detour or a block and actually give us answers that aren't true, but they're so out, you can sense it. And we tell in our book how to find these detours and blocks so you can get around them and get right to the core of the issue. And we teach about blocks in our three-dimensional course.
Great. So tell me, can you share with us what, like, an example of a block would be?
A person may not want to go where they need to go. So they give an answers that they're not congruent. You can tell they're not congruent. There's not the proper emotion with them. So at this point, we may have to ask, is there an emotion we have to clear? sometimes it's as simple as the client needs to stand up, stretch, use the restroom, get some water. We might have to clear fear because they're so afraid to go there. We have to assure them they're not alone, that we're there with them. And again, we cover a lot about blocks in the book, and it might even be we're dealing with an inherited program that has to be cleared that laid the foundation for their own program.
Right, right.
Sometimes
so the inherited can be something other than emotions then.
Yes, right. And oftentimes, too, the client is so fearful that the muscle testing will blow. She'll blow her muscle test. She'll give, suddenly that arm isn't accurate anymore. And even if you have a surgeon,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes a surgeon, if the surgeon isn't knowledgeable about sabotages and blocks and that dreaded detour, they will go untestable. So that's where we
really?
Teach a counselor how to think through this and how to recognize those signs.
Wow, that's amazing.
One
so
of the
tell
things,
me more about some of the things that you'll find in T3.
Right. One of the things that we feel is so valuable is the vanishing twin syndrome. And it's only in the last maybe 10, 15 years or 20 that people are even aware that having a twin in the womb and losing it has a tremendous effect on a person. They used to think, oh, well, it's gone, no memory. But vanishing twin, the client has no conscious memory of it. But they do have the symptoms, and one is extreme sadness, and they often feel abnormal or different. They're looking for a connection. They're looking for a soulmate. They can't understand why they're different than other people. And so when they can learn that they had a twin in the womb that they lost, this explains their emotions. So even though it doesn't take away the sadness totally, understanding it, you can feel normal and move on with your life. It's a very powerful technique for helping people deal with vanishing twin and even knowing they have it. But you've got to be careful. You can't just ask people, do you have a vanishing twin? The timing has to be right for them to know it.
There's also, for example, too, is conception energy. This is the energy that, not the energy you're born with, as many horoscope people look for, although I think that's very valuable, but it's the energy of the moment you were conceived. If you watch a group of young children in a nursery and watch how they interact with each other, you'll find that one child, no matter what happens, that child's happy and laughing and, oh, take my ball away, oh, that's really fun. Or another child is crying all the time, and no matter what you do, you can't comfort it. You have this scared child or this shy child. Conception energy is so important in the life of a person because that energy of which you were conceived in is the energy that you will carry out with you for the rest of your life. All the information that the world gives you as you grow up has to come through that energy to you, and all the energy that you give out to the world goes through that energy. Think about, for example, a woman who might get impregnated in a one-night stand and, you know,
mm-hmm.
be impregnated between 5 to 7 days. So she's in love. Oh, my gosh, this guy loves me, and it's a great day, and he'll call me back. He said he'll call me. He's going to call me. And then the next day, he didn't call. And the third day, he still didn't call. Now you're depressed. You're upset. You feel rejected. That child could be conceived under any of those emotions. And that laces through
wow.
your entire life.
So that's interesting.
And courting. For example, we have courting in our book, and when Dr. Brad came and attended one of our classes, he learned about courting. But one thing about courting is you have to understand where it comes from and why it's there. A lot of times, for example, kindergarten, first grade teachers, they get courted from their young students, and they get courted in front of their bodies, and they're loving, and they're giving out all these love to the students, and the students are giving them love back. And when that student has to move on, they panic because they have to uncord from that teacher. A negative cord could be as simple if you walk down the hallway in a hospital and you go visit someone and you walk out, suddenly you're exhausted. Why am I so exhausted? I just went for a few minutes. But when the patient is ill and there's a healthy body, a healthy energy body walking down that hallway, they're going to cord them from the back where you don't recognize it, you don't feel it, because 99% of our attention is out front. And they will suck off your healthy energy to help boost their body. Are they being mean? No. Are they being maybe a little disrespectful? But, you know, when you're sick, you'll do anything to get better. But when you're out of that hospital, those cords disappear. It's those negative cords that hang in there that want to control, like an abusive relationship, a stalker. I think a stalker knows where you're at and what you're doing. So cording is really important, and you can discover that and why you have it. Remove it carefully, and then heal that area, so because it's going to be a soft area for a while. So heal that to keep the person from cording you back.
And there's
well, now can you have cords with dead people?
Corded with dead people? No,
people
we don't.
People that have already died.
Yeah, once a person's dead, their energy ceases to exist in their human body. They have then moved on to the next level. So they don't have, I mean, can they love you? Yes. Can they send loving energy? Absolutely. But can they actually attach a cord to you? They don't have that energy or that ability.
Physical body.
The physical body is gone. I mean, it's laying there, but it doesn't have any oomph left.
And there's a
but what if there was a cord before they died? Because I found in this one client several, multiple, now this was an abusive father, multiple negative cords. But the person had died already, so it was just really curious that he was still being affected by these cords.
Oh, we are still affected by life, and that person to who was corded was so used to having mm-hmm. those cords that they're just hanging there. They're dead cords, but they're still, you still feel them. The body still has them attached. You do have to remove those.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a scab, you know, and you keep picking at that scab, and then the scar is there. That scar is going to be there, right, until you put something on that scar to make it heal. It's
right.
Like a cord. If you cut a cord, that cord is still there. The connection is still there. It's going to...
Like an umbilical cord that hasn't been removed.
Yes.
It's dead and useless.
It's dead, it's useless, but it's still hanging there.
Mm.
There's another... With cording or any of these, I've worked with clients where they will not let the cord go because they have a core belief program that says that cord serves a purpose. It's they have to have that cord. It's like they have to save that person, or if they let go of the cord, they're letting go of a dream. It's a lost dream, and so that cord preserves the dream, and yet it's not serving them, it's not working, and it's causing a lot of pain. So again, core belief is behind a lot of these other energy problems.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what about these, you know, I was reading a book yesterday called Healing Lost Souls, and they talked about cording, actually. And what was interesting was I got the sense that there were no healthy cords. Like, they didn't talk about a heart-to-heart cord being healthy. So is it not healthy for us to have cords at all with anyone?
Oh, absolutely it's healthy. If you're married and you love your husband, you're corded to him. You're corded to your children. The only unhealthy, I would say, cord to a child is if, say, for example, a child is born and it has some physical problems, that, you know, a life and death situation, a mother will cord from her heart, but she'll also cord from her survival area and feed that child's survival energy to help that child be stronger. And then as the child strengthens and gets stronger, the mother loves it. There's no doubt there's a heart-to-heart cord to your children, but she still has that survival cord for fear of the child. So we have to keep feeding the child itself will rebel against the survival cord. But that's from the front. So cords are wonderful things. That's how we know our children are in trouble before, I mean, they're not even around us. You just know it. You sense something's wrong. Oh, my gosh, something's wrong, my child. No, you know in an instant when your child's in trouble.
That's where mother gets her eyes out of her head.
Yes.
That is fascinating. What about PTSD?
You know, that's really been a difficult one for tradition to work with, and I know because I was in that field. We find with core belief work, we go back to that event that triggered the PTSD. And it doesn't always have to be in war. For example, people think of war or maybe a traumatic accident. We had a client who at about age 10 watched a dog viciously attack a man on a bicycle and ripped into his leg. They couldn't get him off. A policeman had to shoot and kill the dog. She witnessed all this. And years later, when we worked with her, we were actually working on something else, and it came up with an image. We had a block or an image. And as we explored it, we got the age, and she said, oh, yeah, I remember this event, and she told about this dog attack. She had no emotion attached anymore. But what her body had done is, in order to protect her, it created a severe allergy to dogs, so much so that if she went into a home and there was one dog here, she would react. And she couldn't be around them, near them, and this way her body protected her. When she discovered this event and how much it affected her, her body was able to let go of the allergy because she now was an adult. She understood she could protect herself. She went home a month later. They bought a dog, and then a little long while later, they got another dog. No reaction. But the power of that instant kept her away from dogs.
Wow. That reminds me of another story of that I read about this woman that had a salt allergy and apparently remembered years ago that she was, when she was molested by her father, that he would give her a bag of chips afterwards.
Oh my God.
You know, something to placate her. And so that's how she ended up with the salt allergy. So when they removed whatever emotion it was that was contributing to the salt allergy, she stopped having the salt allergy, but then she remembered what it was that was connecting the salt. So, yeah, very powerful, powerful stuff.
It is.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And sometimes, just like we had one client with abuse, and we were doing it in my home, and she went to use my restroom. My husband was doing some remodeling in there and had left a big knife on the shelf, and she walked in and saw that and just flipped. It took us, through other techniques, we were able to bring her out of her panic attack. Well, a knife was used to threaten her when she was abused. Something just that simple, a visual, a sound, a smell, a touch, can just trigger a person. So core belief, we go back and find that beginning event, and by taking out the negative or faulty belief system, putting in an empowering one, we help the client take back their power. We empower them to act, not react.
Wow.
With three-dimensional therapy, also it's important that we understand our past experiences. Our clients don't always have to go back and relive them. Just have an understanding, because you learn something from every experience. You learn something good as well as if it was a bad experience. Why was it bad? How were you set up? You know, it does empower you, but it gives you such great understanding.
And one of the things we want to do in three-dimensional therapy and do in our book is people have gifts, but most of us, including myself, had kind of shut them down, and I went more to my head, and it was through working with Leilani I rediscovered those and can now use them so much better, because you have to use your gifts. We take away the training wheels and you learn to ride the bike, as the saying goes. And you may want to comment a little more on that.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, that's true. all of us, you know, all of us have God-given gifts, and all of us have at least four of them, which is, you know, the audio, the visual, the knowing, and the feeling. And our book explains them. It takes the what I teasingly call the voodoo out of it, and it helps us to understand what they are and how they work. And it, and in three-dimensional therapy, we take you a step further. We give you the knowledge and allow you to use your own brain to think this through.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so cool. So how do people get a copy, you know, of your book, and how hard is it to actually learn three-dimensional therapy?
This depends on the person. We find those that have Dr. Brad's work and the emotion code or the body code almost always can learn it very well and become very successful. We have a number of clients out there practicing it very successfully. If a person doesn't have that background but are familiar with muscle testing, we suggest they learn muscle testing, and then they should be able to pick it up. But it helps to have a background in working with energy. Kind of really an advanced
Great.
Course.
Yep. This is
so. How do people get trained, and how do they get a copy of your book?
They go to our website, threedimensionaltherapy.com, and we have information on there about the study course, also about three-dimensional therapy. We're certifying people, and so we know this isn't a gift just Leilani and I have. Others can and are learning it and doing so very successfully.
And we help them as well. I mean, our webpage is on there. You can ask us any questions. We personally answer your questions. And then after 6 months of having the course and working with it and learning it, then you can be certified. And what we do is not only are you certified, but we talk to you personally. We Skype you. We educate you. We help you, we applaud your strengths, we strengthen your weaknesses, we clear up a lot of confusion. So you're really getting personal information and
right.
personal education from us.
And if you've got a block being successful, we'll bring it out and help you work through it.
Yeah, sounds
we'll
great.
It's a very powerful course, and we don't really have time to touch on love languages, but the core desire is so critical to our core belief programs. And we have a big section in there helping you recognize your core desire and how it's affecting you and how to correct problems that are not, or things that aren't working for you.
Oh, that's interesting, because we talked to somebody about love languages before. And so what you're saying is the core desire is linked in with your primary love language?
Very much so. People, for example, that have illnesses and they don't respond to any treatment, it's like they don't want to get better. Often that's a quality time person, and they get their love or attention when they're sick. So their subconscious says, you can't get well. You won't have any attention if you get well. Or a person with affirmation might use sickness as an excuse so you can't criticize them for failing or not doing
yes.
a good job. So there's different ways love language can affect our programs.
Oh, that is really cool. Yeah, I wish we did have time to talk about that, but our time's just about up. I want to make sure everyone knows how to get to your website. So it's threedimensionaltherapy.com, and
right.
there they can find the course, as well as some information about certification. Is that right?
And contact information.
Right. And then so if somebody wanted a three-dimensional therapy session with either of you, can they order that online or get a remote session?
Well, Dr. Karen, actually, we have a closed practice because not only are we helping other practitioners out there become certified, but we're upgrading our current book, and we are working towards teaching and creating. We need to expand this. We need more practitioners because people are calling all the time.
But we have some people we can refer people too for three-dimensional work.
We have some really good people.
Oh, great. Oh, fantastic. Well, this has been so interesting. I want to thank you both, Gwen and Leilani, for your time talking to us about 3D therapy. We want, you know, more people to know about this, which is one of the reasons we want to have you on the show today, and to get, you know, pique people's interest. I think the whole thing about core beliefs and core desires is so, so important that a lot of people don't realize how much of that old programming that, you know, can influence or control parts of our lives that sometimes we really have no idea what's going on. So thank you so much for your brilliant work and for you guys, you know, being together and in this lovely way, the yin and the yang, and, you know, just this amazing, you know, marriage of gifts. This is like such a blessing.
Well, thank you. Yes, we appreciate that. And thank you for allowing us to be on your show and talking about our healing methods.
Thank you,
Oh,
Karen.
Yeah, it was so exciting. Yeah, it was like, I couldn't wait. This was so cool. So, and then I want to thank everyone for listening to our radio show today. And, of course, this is recorded, and you can replay it at any time. We have it posted on our blog as well as on Blog Talk Radio. And, again, thank you both, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you.